Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Dan Zucker. Dan, the program manager with the Windows Phone Developer Platform, specifically on localization with Windows Phone 8. Dan, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So we're doing a bunch of episodes on Windows Phone. This is an exciting series we're doing. Localization in particular, I'm not sure every developer realizes that Windows Phone reaches, or at least can reach, almost 190 countries, almost 50-some languages. I mean, it has broad breadth, and that's only growing.
That's true. And it's very popular, in some places more popular than other platforms.
And not every single country of those 190-some speak English, do they, Dan?
That's true. And even in places where they do speak English as a second language or an additional language, people often prefer to have their applications in their preferred language.
Yeah. I mean, of course we know the advice to developers is always cater to your user, always make it so they love your app, always do the best you can to make their experience great. And I think there's another realization here as well, not just that all these other languages are there, but those other languages will buy apps, will buy in-app purchases. I mean, they're important to the ecosystem overall, don't you think?
I do. Millions and millions and millions of people do not speak English and want to use smartphones.
Yeah. All right. So I'm a developer. I'm building my application. I speak English. I'm going to make my application in English. But now I realize there are a lot of non-English speakers. There's a lot of opportunity I'm going to lose because of that. What do I do?
Well, first of all, you follow the basic principles of localization, which most of your listeners will probably be aware consists. The main one is that you separate your resources from your code, from your display. And that way you can just switch from language to language based on the user preference or based on the coding of the app, if the app decides to display in a different language. And Windows Phones does this via ResX files, where resources are separated into their own, each language gets its own ResX file. And then the system looks at the language preferences that the user has made for the phone and can automatically switch the language of your application to use the resource file that's appropriate for that culture.
So I have a ResX file. Of course, .NET developers have known ResX forever, right? It's a great way to have all kinds of resources, not just strings, and it's even typed sometimes in order to get into it. And so I have a ResX file where I've, now you said that we all do this, but you know, there's one guy listening who doesn't do it, and I'll just, for his sake, right? The hard-coded strings, you know, I have a form where I want the user to enter in their first name. Of course, I'm going to have a label above it to give them a little guidance. That label is going to say first name, and I'm going to hard-code it right in my XAML. That's what you're talking about.
That's right.
Hard-coded string, it's not the only place in my app. I've got buttons, I've got all kinds of menu items and things like that.
Right.
You're saying create your UI in your XAML, but extract all of those strings and put them in a ResX file. Is that right?
That's right. Give each one a unique, each attribute a unique name that's localized, and replace the actual hard-coded string with a binding clause, and the system does the rest at runtime.
Okay, so it's in the binding. So there's a special binding clause
that
says, don't read from my view model or whatever it is I might be reading from. Go read from something else.
That's right. It draws the resources from the ResX file that are the current culture of the application. Current culture is set by either in app code, or it's set by default, it's set to whatever the user has told the phone to make the language of the phone.
Okay, so it's the framework that's doing the work for me, realizing what language that the user is speaking because they've set it in their regional settings on Windows Phone. That's passed along into the app, and so I have 1, 2, 3, 4 ResX files, each one representing a different language, and then it'll automatically cycle between them. How do I indicate which ResX file is for which language?
The ResX files in the naming convention use the culture code the
like the ENUS is exactly. for United States English. Okay.
Exactly.
And it's in the file extension or a folder that it's in?
It's in Windows Phone. It's actually in the name of the file.
Okay. Yeah, all right, that makes sense. So you could have quite a few resource files, depending on how many languages you want to support. And then do I have the ability as a developer then to go in and manually switch? You know, I realize you said, I realize that your phone is in English, but can I give an option then to say manually switch it over to, say, Spanish?
You absolutely can. You can set the current UI culture of the application to the culture that's supported. It has to be supported in your app. The resources have to be present.
Yeah.
But as long as they're present, if you change the current culture to a given culture, then those are the resources that will be displayed in the app. And in fact, there's a sample of this in the blog that you'll be able to see links to associated with this.
Nice, being able to manually switch out which culture you want. And what happens if I switch to a culture that I don't have a ResX file for?
In Windows Phone, then it falls back to the one that is available. It will generally fall back to the neutral language or the primary language. So if the primary language that you've coded the app in is English, then it would fall back to English.
I see. Okay, makes sense to me. And then if I'm binding inside XAML, so I don't have to bind, right? You said I could do it in code behind as well. I could do it either way, depending on some scenarios require it, right?
That's correct. For instance, the application toolbar of the phone, the application bar can't be done in XAML because of the architecture of it. So that's an example where you need to use code behind. And in fact, in new project templates in Windows 8 for managed apps, you'll see that there's sample code for doing that in each of the new templates that use app bar. And there is also a sample for binding the XAML apps in each of the projects.
Oh, okay. So that's the commented out code that's in that default project that interacts with the app bar. So I can see some of the basic localization stuff even right there. That's a nice resource to kind of have at your fingertips automatically. Every developer will have it because they'll probably be saying file new project at least one time.
That's right. In fact, there's a bunch of other things that are also in the Windows 8 template, the Windows Phone 8 managed app templates that help with localization. There's a localized strings class, which does all your management with a resource manager class behind the scenes. There is a neutral language ResX file already formatted. And already formatted to use the template. If you simply replace the hard-coded string in the app title, for instance, with the sample code that's there, what you'll be seeing is the resource being displayed. Also, if you add languages, translation languages, by going to the properties page of the project, and add a supported language, then the ResX file for that culture is automatically added. So there's about this is very similar to what one was recommended to do in documentation in Windows Phone 7, but now this is all done for you, and there's about 10 steps that have been cut out in the process.
Nice. Not only is it done for you, but there's some code generation there as well that kind of gets you even further along the way. I think that's an important step too. If you could have 40 ResX files for every language you can think of, but if you haven't updated your project to have supported languages, those are invisible.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
You need
the strings class, the strings class that's provided, is that an abstraction to the ResX file?
Yes, it's actually an app resource. So it's if you use the localized string class, then you'll be talking straight to the resource of the current UI culture.
Nice. Now I know that sometimes I'll be interacting with a language that you know, it's almost like a kung fu movie. You know, a guy will monologue for 30 seconds, and then, you know, the text below it will just be two words, right? And you're like, wow, that was a lot to say in so such small pieces. Going the other way can happen, too. My language might be four words, but in the language I'm translating into, it could be 20 words in order to really convey whatever needs to be there. How do I also, now I can replace that string, but it might be truncated. How do I handle that?
Right. This is definitely one of the challenges of localization is that different languages take a different amount of space. A technique that's most commonly used throughout localization in all different forms is called pseudo-localization. And that's where you take characters from a variety of scripts, hopefully ones that look like letters that you recognize, and you just do a character replacement, and you also extend the length of each string by a certain percentage. Something like 30% accounts for a long language like German, which is often much much longer than English.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing to account for when you make your UI for multiple languages is don't assume that the primary language that you're localizing for is going to represent the length that you actually need for the UI part.
And so pseudo-localization is creating a resource file with extra long text. Is that the idea that to try and test the boundary that way?
That's correct. Extra long test. And there are other things that pseudo-localization tests for, code page or character issues that might arise. So typically pseudo-localization also involves throwing in a bunch of characters that are not in the script of the primary language.
I see. So I have in my ResX file, my resource file, I have all my strings, but strings aren't the only thing I'm going to have, right? I might need some doubles or integers to represent size, to represent width, things like that as well, because I can, all of those play into the localization too, right?
Yes, certainly, or there could even be images that are using different images for different cultures.
I can actually put my resources in there as well. I see, except my images and things like that, it didn't even cross my mind. You could really have everything inside that ResX file so that the whole language is kind of encapsulated in, or language support is encapsulated in a single file.
Yes.
So I know somebody, and maybe they speak German, and I give them the ResX file, but Visual Studio may not be available to them or something like that. What are their options?
Right. Actually, there's a great new tool which addresses this. Working with a translator and working with the resources, managing them within your project. It's called the Multilingual Application Toolkit. And it's come from the Windows International team. And it's actually a distillation of a lot of internal tools that have been used for localization at Microsoft for quite a long time. One thing it does is it uses an industry standard XML protocol for transferring language files to a translator, called XLIF. XLIF works with a variety of tools. One of the tools it works with is a standalone version of the Multilingual Application Toolkit. In other words, if you have Visual Studio and you download the toolkit, it works in an integrated fashion. If your friend who speaks German but is not technical and does not have Visual Studio installed downloads the toolkit, then it works as a standalone tool.
XLIF is sort of the PDF of translations, right? That's standard all the way around, and the toolkit sort of works as a reader. But there are other readers out there, and if I sent it to a professional company, they would have their own XLIF tools, right? But here is, if I don't have a professional company that I'm going to and somebody needs a reader, here's the toolkit right there. They can open it up and interact with it in a rich way as well. And
exactly.
If I have Visual Studio, I interact with it a rich way, and just a little bit more as well, because it actually talks to my project and handles it as well.
That's right. And it does some kind of magic things, such as one-click pseudo-localization. You can actually generate pseudo-localization right on your machine for your project and regenerate it as resources change. It also does one-click machine translation. So it goes to the Microsoft Translator service and comes back with machine translation. Let me just say a few words about machine translation here.
Okay.
Which is, it's actually a very useful thing. It may not be useful for producing a high quality application.
Now wait. Just in case somebody doesn't know what machine translation is, we're not translating a machine here. We're using a machine to do the translation. This is sending it to the Bing translator, right? And we send them the strings, we send them whatever the target language is, it comes back as the strings in those target languages. And you're saying that's awesome, but it's also risky.
It's risky. It's risky to publish an app with it, especially with any kind of complexity to the or nuance to the language, because a native speaker will just say what the heck about, you know, in at least some cases. However, in terms of working with a translator, especially if you're paying for a translator, it can substantially reduce the amount of time it takes that person and cost, because they have a suggestion to start from.
Yeah.
So it also gives you a very, you know, very accurate look and feel for what the app is going to look like. Pseudo-localization helps you with adjusting the string size, but sometimes there are some things that you want to adjust about a UI based on how a script of a different language looks. How it lays out.
It's worth saying that some things shouldn't be translated either, right? I mean, sometimes a color is red, and it's red regardless, right? I don't need it to be translated into rouge. It's red no matter what, right?
Right, or a brand name like Microsoft. Correct, and the great thing about the toolkit is that it has all of the kind of workflow and exception making. You can click on a word and say, don't translate this word. You can click on a whole string and say, don't translate this string. It has, kind of status indication where a given string is in the process. It's a very full function, you know, fully realized tool.
All right. So from a XAML perspective, all right, what does that binding syntax look like for a developer?
It looks like a typical Windows Phone .NET binding statement. The path is in localized resources, and then dot whatever the name of the resources is, and the source is a static resource within the localized strings class.
I see. So that's handy. It's the framework then under the hood that's swapping out that localized string, getting all the right ones for us. So all we have to do is reference directly to localized string and then go into whatever that special and unique name is we've given that one resource.
So how
do you do it? You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of strategies for how to name your resources, because, you know, you could have three forms and they all have first name. You could have, you know, the same button, but it means something else in one for the other. When you name your resources, what are some of the naming techniques you use?
Typically, if it's an element like a title element that changes from one to the next, I'll try to keep something that is a mnemonic that it's a title, and then I'll try to add a piece that refers to the page that it's on. So page one title, page two title. Just try to capture both the idiosyncratic part of it and the standard part of it.
Got it. So the name of the resource, just as a takeaway for our developers, is it doesn't matter. It could be anything as long as it's unique. The naming of that resource doesn't imply anything that the framework is looking at. And that might be a confusion point if you are building a Windows 8 app, let's say. So you might be building a Windows 8 app and you're localizing it, and you're building a Windows Phone 8 app and you're localizing it. Dan, that's not the same syntax, is it?
That's correct. There's nothing canonical about the names of the resources in this case.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I'll say a caveat here, which is that there are a couple of resources that are standard in the Windows Phone 8 template that have to do with initializing the language. This is something that gets initialized when you first add a supported language to the app. and it initializes the font and the flow direction. The reason why we need to initialize the font is that in Unicode for complex scripts and East Asian languages, various forms of Arabic that share most of the glyphs, but there may be a different glyph for Kazakh than there is for classic Arabic. Unicode actually has overlaps, and it needs both the XML lang and the Unicode number in order to render the right glyph. So this is a little something that you used to have to add extra code for. We're now initializing it. And the way that we know what to initialize it with is because there is a parameter string that's adding a supported language stamps into the resx file that gets created.
And the toolkit will put that in for you whenever you create a new language that you want to support inside your project as well. So it's not like you have to memorize it, but it is by convention, right? It's not a property on the resx file that you set. It's an actual resource with a specific name that you have.
That's
now, great. I can imagine, Dan, there's a developer out there, just one probably, that's thinking, this is pretty nice. I could have an app that supports English, German, and Arabic, let's say, and that's pretty good. I really extend my reach. Why wouldn't I release three versions of my app instead of having the extra logic inside my app to be able to decipher between them? What would you say to that guy?
I would say that it's a lot less work to maintain a single code base and modify resources than it is to release three apps. There may be cases where that's the smart thing to do. It really depends on your build process, how you're working with the applications. Also, if your app has a lot of resources or is very large, it may make sense for size reasons to release language specific apps.
Dan, if you have an app out there and you support, let's say, three languages, and you want to support another, can you dynamically import resources like that, or is it that's an upgrade of my app? Okay, like, you know, I have three resx files, and I have a fourth one now that I finished for my fourth language. Can I have code in my app that goes, finds that on my server, pulls that in?
Certainly. You can do localization from the server side. That's quite frequently done. Mm. In the sample that I have in my blog that you can see the link for, it actually gets the source of the translation from an RSS feed from a website. And so the actual translations are done dynamically by that web service that I'm picking the RSS feed off of.
Very powerful. Wow, very powerful. Of course, I guess if you're offline, you have a caching strategy or some sort of way of detecting that as well. But there's another option for you as well, so that you can keep advancing your application. Don't have to go through a new upgrade process if you want to. That way you can really release languages quickly. And you also don't feel, I guess, burden to release your app waiting for all of the languages to be support. So if you have that sort of language, you can go ahead and release your app, and then as time passes, keep increasing the languages that you support.
Yeah, that's
now, how do you upgrade your app, or how do you tell the app then that I have a new language that I support in as far as supported languages?
I'm certain somebody could think of how to code that. My code does not do that. But that you certainly could make that dynamic. The way that I switch from language to language is basically by switching from, you know, changing the URL to point at the correct language resource, the correct part of the RSS feed. So you could certainly think about how you could change that culture dynamically.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. So now I'm building an app. I recognize that it's a broad reach. I realize I need to do this localization so that my application doesn't have hard-coded strings, but now I've moved them into a resource file. I have used the toolkit, let's say, to create my first stubs of the next language, whatever that is. I take that the the XLIF file that I get from the toolkit, and I hand it off to my buddy who speaks German or whatever, right?
Right.
Because I don't want to rely on what the toolkit gives me, even though it's a good first start, right? I want to he's going to make sure I'm not insulting somebody's mother or something like that with the language that it gave back to me. Mm-hmm. Then I can deploy it up, and I select which languages I'm going to have in my application. I deploy it up. The store then presents it to a broader audience than it would have otherwise, because in some stores, it'll be limited to the language that the user has selected on their regional settings, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so that now, if you don't do that, I guess that's the takeaway. If you don't do that, just know that your app will go into the store, and it will be presented to users, but it is a constrained set of users who support your language.
That's right.
Is there a common mistake that developers do when they're implementing localization? Maybe something you would recommend they avoid, maybe?
One thing I would recommend is to do it from the bind your resources from the start. Think about this process from the beginning so that you don't run into any dead ends as you go.
Yeah, and definitely use, if it's not the pseudo language, at least use some other language so you can start to see what happens if your strings really get long, right?
Excellent point.
And I guess you might need to include things like width and whether or not things wrap, and you know, being able to, you got it. This is a developer problem where you know, their computer science really kicks in here, and you solve the problem based on, wow, all kinds of crazy things. In fact, don't forget left to right is an option as well, and then that really changed things. And do you see a lot of developers forgetting the text in their images when they're localizing?
That's certainly a problem, and it's a good reason not to put text into your image if you can avoid it. That makes localization harder. Concatenating strings, putting strings together in code behind can be complex. If it can be avoided in your app, that if you're localizing, that can make things much simpler, or at least think it through and make sure that you're pulling resources. Remember that different languages put things in different orders. So if you're, I guess the basic advice is to localize sentences. Don't try to localize individual words because they may not parse the same way in different languages. Another thing that isn't so much to do with the technology of the strings, but it's a good idea to have someone who is from a culture look through your app and make sure there's nothing there that's off or off color about the app.
And now we're not even talking about strings. Now we're talking about the app itself. You could insult without even knowing you're doing it.
This is a good reason. This is a good point about having a machine do the translation. Is that it's very hard for a machine to know some of those things.
It's hard to offend the being trained.
Right, but and also why it's not, you know, actually having somebody from a place is a great thing if it's possible, and there's some amazing localization services on the web. If you go and just look around, you can find sites where you can get bids from people, where you can specify what kind of specialized knowledge they may need to have. So I think a big stopper to a lot of people localizing is that they don't feel like they can find somebody to do the translation. They don't feel like they can work with that person. And if you put together the fact that there are these services and a lot of people looking for this kind of work, and you know, highly educated people looking for this kind of work, and a tool like the multilingual application toolkit, it actually really lowers the bar for taking an existing app and making, you know, having you know, several million Chinese people all of a sudden be able to buy it. What we've heard from surveys is of people doing Windows Phone apps and localizing is almost to a one. They've certainly made their money back, and some people say the majority of people say they've doubled the downloads of their apps just by localizing.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, that's what this is all about. This is all about what can you do. We don't say to make your user experience better because we want the user to have a better experience. We say because we want your app to be successful, right? We want them not to uninstall your app. We want them to be tempted to install your app. We want them to enjoy your app so that They'll buy it so that they'll buy your in-app purchases, so that they'll use the advertising, or they'll show the advertising you have in there. There's a lot. I mean, this is just one of many strategies, but certainly one of the most important, I would think. Well, I'm sure you would too, Dan, of being able to broaden your breadth of opportunity of who you would be able to reach out to. A lot of power there, a lot of capabilities, some really cool tooling as well as far as the multilingual toolkit. Dan, I appreciate you being on the show. Localization's a big deal. I wonder what this show will be localized into. I'll have to ask Chris. Thanks for being on the show, Dan. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.